What's poppin', my Freeform Renegades? You are tuned into the Freeform Network. Thank you for joining us for another fun episode of Freeform Radio. I'm your host, Noel, with my regular co-host, Daniel.
Yes, sir. Over here chilling in the heat, man. Kind of hot today, but, you know, got a little sweltering going on. But, yeah, I'm recording.
And my other OG host, Andy.
It's all good. We're back in Adam. So what's going on?
It's another beautiful day here in Chicago. Really sunny, hot as hell. But wherever you listeners are, we hope you're sitting cool and feeling good. And we're going to get this show started here. Andy, you know, really quick, let's kind of catch up with you, see what you've been up to lately. I'm hearing right now with the summer going, there's talks of a vacation. Can you fill us in?
So, yeah, I mean, I'm planning right now. We're talking about going to Michigan. We like going to the dunes, but kind of not nervous. I'm just worried that there's like a lot of travel bans during this pandemic. So I don't know if we go there, if they're going to make us self-quarantine and shit, because we're looking at the hotels and a lot of them, like the pool is closed. They don't have the restaurants are like not really open, or they want you to do some stuff. And then the state park we're going to, the Warren Dunes, I was trying to find like accurate information to see if they're open. It's a beach. So I was just like, I don't know if I could just roll up in there and just throw my cooler down and fucking start sunbathing. And I was reading reviews of people, you know, like everything social distancing and shit. I was reading one lady, I mean, it's going a little extreme in my, she actually like plotted out. She brought some like twine and some sticks and made like a 12 foot fucking section on the beach. And she put like twine around it. She's like, please don't come in this area. This is a chop zone or some shit. So, and she said that she did get stares and some evil eyes from some Karens, but she said people didn't come around us.
Yeah, I did see some pics like that. I saw even one with somebody with like a tape measure and be like, you're inside my zone. This is my buffer zone to be 6 feet apart or whatever the hell the recommended distance when you're in the beach or whatever. And the lady was recording and she like totally flipped out. So good luck, man, when you go out there.
Yeah, that's the whole thing is, like, obviously the big thing is the social distancing. And, you know, I try to follow it like 95% of the time, but sometimes you just can't. But that's why we're going during like on a Monday, Tuesday. Like I said, it's like 3 days at most. And I feel like there'll be less people. And I think we should be good.
I have a friend that actually just went there 2 weeks ago to see some family. And he said things were great, man. Like like where he went to Detroit, though. I don't know if that's different, but he said everybody there is they're more. It's like a little mini Texas. He said like the people there, they're freaking cool as hell. They're more conservative. They have their own gun owners. You know, they're like part of the NRA. They're not afraid of this shit. They know to be safe, but not like fucking extreme. You know, not like shit. The fucking world's gonna end today. You know.
No, and tomorrow, man. It's cool. And, got a day to do something. Got a couple hours.
Now, with everything the way Noel mentioned, you know, some people are kind of going off the cliff with this thing, and some people are, you know, kind of chillaxing, sitting back with the beer and just relaxing, trying to wait this thing out. How are you, Andy? How are you planning to do this vacation? Are you going to be going to the beach with a mask on, doing that kind of thing?
Nah, I mean, if it's hot and sunny, the sun's going to kill whatever. It's like we've talked numerous times, it's you just don't touch nobody, and then if you do wash, you know, don't touch your face. We're going into the water, and I think if you play it safe, there's no reason you shouldn't stop, you know, your life, but you just got to be a little bit more careful than normal until whatever the fuck game plan. If the vaccine comes out, if you decide to take it, great. If not, that's cool too. I mean, but I think the big thing to me, like I've said before numerous times on the podcast, don't fucking touch me unless you're a hot lady. You know, I'm willing to risk it. Don't touch, you know, if we're outside, it's even better because the sun kills it. And, you know, wash your hands and don't touch your face. I mean, if you're indoors or something, yeah, wear the mask. You know, you're just protecting other people in general. The masks are, they're saying it prevents it. I mean, I read stuff that it does and it doesn't. I mean, it's more like just the droplets don't hit people. So, and but if you're social distancing, you should be cool, you know. That's my thing. The only thing where I get concerned is touching, like if someone touches me. That's where I'm kind of like, oh shit. But the stuff and like, you know, I was big, like a big worry about touching surfaces and all that stuff. And then I read the statistics. A lot of people, you can't get it, but a lot of that's not how it's not happening. I mean, I just say it's not happening. It's very limited. That's why you just constantly wash your fucking hands. And like people, you get tired of washing your fucking hands all the time or sanitizing it. You know, that's the big thing. Once you do that, I think, you know, we're pretty, you should be good and build your immune, you know, take some zinc, drink some, take your vitamins. You'll be all right.
Real quick, one thing I just want to say, another thing to be safe that I was reading about recently. I don't do a lot of traveling, but I was reading this article that said that a lot of people underestimate how dirty their luggage can be. Mm-hmm. And don't ever put your fucking backpack or your luggage on your bed in the hotel. They usually have like a little rack you can put it on, so that way your wheels, because when you're wheeling your shit everywhere, dude, that picks up so many germs. When you take it home, make sure you wash the wheels, everything really good, and clean it, because it'll be a lot of germs on the luggage, they say.
I'm going to just take minimal, man, some Cintrunks and a tea, man, and just free bird it, man. Just go everywhere on that beach.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, I kind of heard the same thing. I didn't know that's what that little folding table was for.
That's for your luggage. For your luggage, yeah.
Yeah, that you're supposed to put your luggage on top of it so that, like Noel said, you're not putting your luggage on top of your bed. And it's a little more convenient, so when you're unloading your stuff into the drawers.
Yeah, because we had a piece of luggage here we used with my wife since we've been married, and we were going to use it late last year, and we took it out. And then, like, the back of it, somehow it got wet. I don't know how. It was, like, all fucking moldy and shit, so we had to throw it out. But we haven't used it, like, in 2 years. And so I'm like, maybe when we brought it back that day, maybe we came back, it was raining or some goofy shit. But yeah, that's why I don't think I'm going to get like the polyester material. I'm probably going to get the next set of luggage, probably going to get plastic.
Right, right. Yeah, so you say you're planning to go to Michigan. Are you just going to hang out by the hotel, or are you going to do vineyards or do some different activities while you're there?
Just mostly outside stuff. I mean, I was just going to plan on hanging out at the beach. I really wanted to go to the beach this year. I kind of like going to Indiana Dunes or the Michigan Dunes, Warren Dunes. We try to go at least every year. And we were going to go around the 4th, but we kind of like felt at the end, it's like, maybe it's going to be too many people there. So we kind of backed out. And then, so we're definitely going next week. So we'll see how it goes. There was some trepidation about, like, I was thinking about doing like a bed and breakfast, and we found a couple. But I was like, man, I don't know how their cleaning stuff standards are. Not like the big chain hotels, and they're more... If something happens, maybe you can sue them and get better. I don't know. So that's why we went with like a big chain, and they pride themselves how they clean everything and all this other shit. So I think at the end we went with the big chain because there was some mom and pop and some cabins, which were reasonably priced. But I was just like, I was kind of worried about the cabins, especially because there was a couple dates that they were booked solid and they were open. And I was just like, damn, man, that means a lot of people are fucking going through there. And I don't know if they're short staffed or what. I'm not like knocking it, but I think just for a bigger guarantee, we decided to book it like with a bigger chain hotel company.
Right. I get what you're saying. I would probably feel better like you made your decision to go to a bigger chain, even though I don't know if they clean any better than the small mom and pops, but it'd probably make me feel better knowing that, you know, they might be cleaning it a little more frequent than, you know, a mom and pop place.
One of the reasons I've read that, you know, not to get off topic, but Trump likes fast food places like McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King. They have rigid cleaning things on how to clean their grills and their businesses. That's one of the reasons that besides being bad for you, I read that he's kind of a germaphobe, and that's one of the reasons he likes that, because they have strict standards on cleaning and how to clean it, and if there's issues, they'll get shut down immediately because it's a big chain. So, I mean, I'm not saying I agree with it, but it makes kind of fucking sense, especially like right now. Even hotels in general, they probably they're being clean, but during what's going on, you just want to. I guess mentally, it makes you feel better. You're psychologically, you're like, yeah, I think I'm more confident they're doing the right thing. The other thing is your hope. I've been reading a lot that on the reviews that people have gone recently. In general, it's a good review, but they do say the hotel places are short-staffed. So a lot of people didn't decide not to go back to work, or they're paranoid or whatever. So that's the biggest knock I've read recently on the hotels is they're short-staffed. And there's a lot of people, and a lot of them, they had, like, the websites, and they had limited rooms. So I don't even know what the fuck that means. I mean, are people, is it business, or are they just traveling more? I don't fucking know.
You know, not to get off on another subject, but with the unemployment checks going out, and they were giving, like, an extra $600 per check or something, or $300 extra per check. I don't know what it was. They were saying that a lot of people, that's why these companies are having a hard time staffing, is that nobody wants to come back to work. You know, they furloughed a lot of people, they laid off a lot of people, and now they're calling people back, and people don't want to come back. You know, first, maybe because they don't think it's safe, and second, you know, they're getting paid fairly well from unemployment, that they're probably like, well, you know, why risk going back when I'm getting paid even more staying at home? So I believe you that some of these places might have trouble getting staff right now.
I think that's why those unemployment benefits need to end soon, so that people can get back to work. And if people, for example, get offered the opportunity to go back and they choose not to, then that's them quitting and therefore no longer eligible for unemployment benefits.
Yeah, I think the benefits are due to expire actually this weekend, the weekend of our recording. They're supposed to end, so... Yeah, things should hopefully start increasing for people going back to work with the added benefits, you know, expiring as far as the extra money.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's to each his own. It's all our choice to where we go and, you know, supporting whatever business you decide to support, local or chain. You know, that's what we have to make that choice individually. But Noel, I know you're supporting your local community. I did notice you mentioned that you went local shopping, and where you went, I was kind of shocked where you went because I haven't been to one of those places in I think 15 years.
Holy crap! Yeah, dude, I went to Gem Comics yesterday actually. So in the morning, I wanted to get my oil changed for the car, and it was way overdue, man. But I don't put too many miles on it, so it's. So it wasn't an urgent thing, but I was trying to see, all right, well, while this is getting done, how do I kill my day, you know, or kill the couple hours I need? And, you know, Amex right now have an American Express card, and they are offering this deal where up to $50 or up to $50, they will reimburse you if you spend 100. So pretty much, you know, you get 50% back. And so I'm like, nice. You know what, this is good for me to shop locally, shop at a mom and pop place. And I couldn't really think of anything that I needed, but I was like, well, maybe I can buy a comic, you know, it's not expensive, it's not going to break the bank, you know, help them out a little bit, get them some business. And yeah, Gem Comics, I haven't gone there in a very long time, dude.
Yeah.
Probably like 10 years, dude. So it was nice to go back there. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like it's doing that well. Not a lot of people coming in. When I went in there, though, to be fair, I went in there as soon as they opened. It was really early in the morning. I did the oil change. So, you know, maybe it gets more traffic in the afternoon. But ultimately, you know, the shelves are stocked. Everything looks there. It's just they need money, man. They need cash flow so they can make upgrades, because this place is like it's not the most upgraded modern look. You know, it definitely looks like a. Like an old store. Like, it's definitely built like in the 80s, 90s, and it just hasn't been upgraded with new modern stuff.
Did he have modern bust or anything? Did he have something behind the where you could see like bust or like collectibles or anything? Or is it just straight comics?
No, they had a variety.
When you're saying old, I picture like my parents' basement, kind of like wood paneling kind of stuff. Is that how it looked?
Not wood paneling, but you know, just not like upgraded. Like if you were to go to like a retail store, that everything looks freaking shiny. You got, you know, freshly painted walls. You got nice carpeting. You got everything, right? Or tile floor. But this is like uneven floor. You got carpeting that, like, it's just weird, man. There's some stuff that they have to upgrade, but it's expensive to do that. So it's, I can see why they haven't. They're mainly focusing on just making the money they can. And I gotta imagine they don't make too much profit on this, and probably enough to pay for themselves and stuff. There's only two workers that were there, but I don't know, man. I try to help them out. There was a lot of shit there, surprisingly, that I was interested in getting. I'm not, you know, the biggest comic book fan, but I've liked it since I was a kid. And so I saw a few nostalgic comics that I was like, damn, dude, this looks pretty cool. Just, you know, skimming through it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get this. And I picked up maybe about like, you know, $15 worth of comics. And then my cousin Robert went with me and he got Titans, Nightwing. I don't know if you guys know who Nightwing is.
Yeah,
right.
He got a graphic old Robin. Novel. Exactly. Yeah. Old Robin. It was good. It looked cool, you know, and the guys were friendly and everything. So it felt like a good experience. I even signed up for the rewards thing. So that way, you know, I get updates and shit. And I plan to keep going back, especially since this deal is going on. This is my first purchase of doing the whole thing to get the reimbursement and all that. So I'm going to keep going back there probably, you know, maybe once or twice a month and give them some business. Poor guys, you know.
No, cool. I'm sure most of our listeners are aware of the mask regulations for like big stores like Walmart and Target. How was it at the comic book store? What kind of extra are they putting stickers on the floor? Be 6 feet apart. Was there anything extra that they were doing for the consumers?
Not extra in terms of warnings or advisements or anything like that, but they were wearing masks themselves when we went up to the register. Initially, when we came in, he didn't have a mask on, but he wasn't at the register. He was like doing other stuff. And admittedly, I mean, it was just, to be fair, it was just open barely. So I think they opened at 10 and we got there at like 9:59. So, I mean, maybe he just didn't have the mask handy as he was like stocking stuff. But when we got to the register to check out, yeah, he had a mask on.
No, cool. No, it's good that you're supporting some local stores, especially comic book stores. I used to be an avid comic book collector, and I think Andy as well when we were in high school.
Yeah.
It's good that you're supporting them. Where is this comic book store located for people that might be interested in supporting them as well?
So it's in Elmhurst, Illinois, and it's close to York Road. It's kind of like a little small business district that if you take York Road, you'll kind of hit, you know,
like
just
their downtown area, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like they're downtown. Yeah. It's close by the railroad tracks. Mm-hmm. Right when you pass it, you'll see it there. It's a cool little spot. You know, it kind of has like this charm to it because it's like an old little comic book dungeon, you know, a little place for us niche lovers of this culture, of this pop culture that is slowly getting modernized, man, slowly getting changed. And this is like the remnants of it. So I enjoyed that, you know, seeing this old style.
Yeah, it's a dinosaur, man. You know, I mean, I think we used to go to a couple different ones in our area and they're all gone. I mean, that's why when you said the one in Elmhurst or whatever, I'm like, I was shocked that that's still around because I don't think it's even that big if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
I remember it was like a corner shop or something.
Yeah, I was there like 3 years ago for like the free comic book day. I usually try to go out there at least for that and pick up a few comics and I'd buy a few. And yeah, we actually took our bikes to Elmhurst and then rode that bike path close to there. And it was a pretty sweet day. But yeah, I haven't been to a comic book in a year or so. And then especially now with all this COVID, it makes it a little more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, surprisingly, it wasn't as small as I imagined it to be. You know, I was imagining like a small, like almost the size of a gas station or something. But yeah. It's bigger than that, dude. It was surprisingly a little more stuff that you can get. And to answer your question from earlier, they do have other stuff that they sell, not just comics. They have graphic novels. They have manga. They have collectibles. They got, I think, posters as well. They got a few things that they sell. So I'm not the biggest collectible guy, but I mean, they have a little bit of something for everybody. Even the Dungeons and Dragons, they got the whole manuals, the whole Pokemon stuff. They got something for everybody, I think.
Oh, nice, man. Yeah. Yeah, support those local stores, man. They need our help.
For sure, man. And that was just what I did in the morning, you know, after I got my car and all that. I got ready for the UFC fight night that night. And just a quick recap, there was a lot of finishes that night. It was a good fight night for sure. The main event is what kind of got me to watch it in the beginning. That was Robert Whittaker versus Darren Till. Robert Whittaker being a former champion in the middleweight division. He won by unanimous decision against Darren Till, who was ranked number 6 against ranked number 1, Whittaker was. So Whittaker winning this fight makes him next in line to get a rematch for the middleweight title once the middleweight champion, the current champion, Israel Adesanya, fights Paulo Costa, I would say, in a couple of months for a UFC pay-per-view.
No, nice. I'm assuming they're still doing empty stadiums. I know baseball started this week, and it was kind of weird seeing them without anybody in the stands. So I'm assuming UFC is still doing the same.
UFC is still doing the same. What they're not doing is making the crowd noises like the Cubs did over the speakers.
Yeah, the Fox did the same thing.
It was weird, man.
Yeah, the Fox games, at least for the baseball, they had like animated people in the background. So they had animated people in the stands. So when the camera would zoom out in certain camera angles, not all of them, you would see like fake people in the background, like a crowd. It was really kind of trippy, cool, and weird at the same time.
I think they should allow for people to go back to the stadiums. I think it should just be very minimal seating, because a lot of places are doing it where you have like 20% capacity. So I don't see why you can't apply that to like the stadium, especially because they're so huge, man. You can have people sit like 5 seats away from each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so, too. I was thinking the same thing, because they do have a few people in the stands. I'm assuming they're workers or maybe people that, are ball players, families or something like that. So I was thinking, I was watching the game with my wife, and then we're just like, it'd be nice if they segregate and be like section 110 is going to be for the Corral family, and at least sell 20 tickets for that. And then have the next group of people, like 20 rows down, and then have, another family, and then at least sell like these sections where some families could go and watch a game together.
Exactly. You can still make some money and everybody can have a good time. And yeah, I mean, hopefully down the line, things will start opening up. Maybe that'll be a baby step down the line.
No, for sure.
But yeah, anyway, that's kind of my weekend, guys. What about you, Daniel? What have you been doing recently?
Yeah, nothing really big time, doing some gaming, staying at home, kind of staying segregated from people. Just finished up a couple weeks ago the Order 1886 for the PlayStation. Not sure if either one of you have ever really heard of that game.
No, man, I'm sorry. I haven't heard of that one.
It sounds like Assassin's Creed shit.
No, this is actually a Sony exclusive. It was made by Ready at Dawn, and they actually just got bought by Oculus. So now they're just going to be building games specifically for Facebook and Oculus. But they made this game exclusively for PlayStation, and it was really close to the launch title. So it was kind of early on. And, when it first came out, it was a $60 game released for full price, and people were shitting on it because some people were supposedly beating this thing in like 5 hours, and they were complaining about how it's not really worth the $60 price tag. Now, I didn't buy it when it first came out. It kind of looked cool, kind of, something that I was interested in, but not really too much at the same time. So it was something that when it dropped down into a budget price, I think I got it for like $15. I picked it up because I was curious about it. And I finally had a chance to play it. I played it the whole three through. It is a short game. It's not
under 5 hours.
No, it took me longer. But I was trying to get the collectibles. I was actually trying to get the platinum, which you had to get all these collectibles and stuff. So I played it.
Whore.
Yeah, I played it kind of methodical. And to be honest, I missed two items, so it prevented me from getting the platinum. And I can't figure out which two items they were, and I tried for like another half hour to figure it out, and I couldn't, so I just gave up, and I'm like, ah, the hell with it. But anyways, I did beat it. It took me roughly about maybe 8 to 10 hours. I don't quite recall the play time I had on it on my clock, but it was good, man. It was a good experience. The graphics were awesome. The physics were really cool. It had a lot of cool elements. And then the premise of the game is that you're in London, England, and you're in the Jack the Ripper kind of timeline. I'm assuming 1886 is the accurate year. And you're in that time place. The only difference is that it's an alternative Earth kind of scenario where technology has really boomed and really gone crazy. So they got like these electric guns. They got, you know, all these special gadgets, but in that timeline. And what's really cool about it is that a lot of these gadgets are true to the era. So they have like TV tubes inside of them that conduct the electricity. And a lot of the gadgets look like they were from 1986, except they're modern. You know, they have these plasma rifles and these other things. So it's like...
kind of sounds like BioShock almost.
Yeah, kind of like that, except it's not the jazzy... I forget what they call that.
Steampunk.
Steampunk. It's not like steampunk. It's more London. You know, yeah. It's got that European feel to it.
Sherlock Holmes time.
Right, picture. Right. Exactly like that. And actually, Jack the Ripper is like a background element in the storyline. He's not in the foreground. It's more just like a background nugget here and there about Jack the Ripper. But really cool, man. The game story was really cool. It ended, but ended with a cliffhanger where you can kind of tell where part two was going to take off from there. But unfortunately, the game didn't do well. It didn't sell well. So it just kind of died there. And with the recent company being sold just like last month, a lot of rumors started. Will Sony ever bring it back? But I don't think they will. I think they'll just let it die there. But pretty cool game. If you're interested in it and interested in kind of that theme stuff, you know, it's real budget friendly game, and it doesn't take too long, which kind of appealed to me because I didn't want to get into some big heavy game, having just played a couple heavy games these last couple ones. So it was a good palate cleanser to kind of get something quick out and done.
I know exactly what you mean, dude. I was playing Resident Evil recently, and some of them are shorter, and people got like people shat on it because it was short. But sometimes you need that. Like a short game, you get a good story out of it. It plays well, gameplay, graphics, everything's good. You know, it might be short, but at least you enjoyed the time that you played with it. That's what matters, really.
Right, right. And actually, right after that, I jumped into The Last of Us 2. I picked up The Last of Us 2, and I have since then beat that one as well. And that one, I was able to get the Platinum. So I got the Platinum for The Last of Us 2. I beat it. Really great game. I mean, when you played, I played those back-to-back, The Order and then The Last of Us 2. The Last of Us 2 was miles ahead as far as the story, the graphics, the tech behind it. It was just so awesome. I mean, I really loved the first part. And playing the second part, I was kind of anxious. I was real hopeful that it was going to be well made, but I was fearful that it was going to be shitty and that I was going to hate it kind of thing. But after playing it, I really enjoyed it.
You would hate it then because, well, you heard something bad about it if they have a good track record.
Well, yeah. That's
an interesting remark there.
Well, I
put a lot of hype on it.
I think it was that, is that I loved the first one so much. Not loved, but I really liked that first one really a lot. So I almost thought that it didn't need a sequel kind of game. So when the sequel was announced and the trailers came out, I watched one trailer and I'm like, I don't want to know anything more about this thing. I don't want to know anything about what's going on or what's it about. So when, like a week before the game came out, a couple rumors of what it was about and a couple plot points kind of leaked out on the internet. And I just happened to glance at one or two, and it really left me kind of salty. I'm like, man, hopefully it's not as bad as, because people, as soon as they started reading these like spoiler stuff, they started shitting on it. Like, oh, it better not be about this. It better not be about that. And they started really shitting on the game. So it kind of left me like that anxious feeling like, man, I hope these people aren't right, that this game sucks. Because I really liked the first one so much. So when I played it, the little bits that I had read weren't true. So I really liked it, but at that point, people were still kind of shitting on it. The ball had kind of rolled to shit on it a lot. So it's a real diverse game. There's a big group of people that really loved it and really like it. And then there's a group that kind of shit on it and don't like the premises of it. But I loved it. I think it's a lot of unique, you know, really immersive stuff that is not found in a lot of games. And this is what I think a lot of games will be judged on, as far as this is the bar for a AAA game caliber. And this is what games should be graded on, I would think, in the future. Man. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if you guys recall what the story is even about, but it's an infection of like cordyceps, they call them. It's like a brain infection of mushrooms,
right?
And these mushrooms infect your brain, and then they start taking over your brain processes, and then you slowly lose control, and you lose, you know, capable of controlling yourself. So that's the whole premise of the game. It's like this you know, epidemic that kind of spans across the world and starts killing off a lot of people. So if you breathe in these spores from the mushrooms, then you get this infection. So it's this second part. I mean, the first one was great because it was introducing everything from scratch. But this second one was diving more into the people, more into how people survive in this circumstance, and how even what we're going to be talking about a little bit with our article of the week is how society breaks down sometimes when shit hits the fan. And that's what part two is more about, is more about the people day to day, their interactions, how these different sects of people form to make alliances to combat the other people, you know, in their gangs and their sets, you know, trying to leave peacefully, and some other trying to be, you know, kind of conquest, you know, areas of the population. So really cool part two. I mean, I saw these videos on YouTube as far as, you know, like incredible things that the game does, and, you know, how ice melts realistically in the game, and how the blood, when it hits the snow actually melts wherever the blood hits. And there was just like tons of little details that if you would have just run through the game, you probably wouldn't notice it. But you know, kind of going through slow the way I did to get the platinum, I did notice a lot of the little things, and it was just super cool. Highly recommend it for people out there, especially if you like the first one. The second one's just the same, and real sad ending. So something for people to go out there and watch. But I think that's enough of us, guys. I think it's time to jump into our article of the week. So our article of the week here is the Chaz or Chop Zone in Seattle that formed. I'm not sure if everybody out there understand what that stands for, but it stands for Chaz. It was Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, and then Chop, it was Capitol Hill Organized Protest. Now, this happened in Seattle just over a month or so ago. It started off in June 8th. I'll just run through the timeline real quick. June 8th was the official date that CHOP was created. But the protest started way in Memorial Day weekend, that May 25th or 26th, whenever that Memorial Day weekend was, because that was the weekend that George Floyd was killed. And the protest kind of led up to the formation of CHOP or Chaz. So June 8th, CHOP was created, and it ran all the way to about June 30th or July 1st around that neighborhood, when finally the last barrier was removed. So almost for a month, this zone was created where supposedly they were free of all government, And because of things that happened in between those dates, it was disbanded and the police were back in there. But it's incredible to think that a piece of the United States was formed with the intent of being separate from the United States, or at least that's what it initially was started with. So let's just open up the discussion. What do you guys quickly think about Chaz and Chop and its time here in almost a month?
Well, I guess I'll start this off. When I first heard about it, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was BS. I thought it was going to last maybe a couple hours, maybe a day at most. And then it would be, you know, quickly undone, because the thought of people just making their own little autonomous country or zone, whatever they want to call it, it just doesn't seem like it's even possible. Like, it just seems like nonsense. Like somebody just fucking trying to fly with like bird feathers, you know? It just seems stupid. Like, who the hell can do something like that? And evidently, yeah, they took a couple city blocks and made their own little zone. Now, I heard a lot of stuff, all negative, really. And some stuff pretty funny, because they were pretty much trying to get police to be out of their zone. And when things got complicated, as things do, they were to ask, like, hey, anybody here a doctor? Anybody here? Can anybody here be like handling, you know, like authority stuff? And then so pretty much what they were saying is like, can anybody be like a cop for this zone?
Right.
And it's just like, it's so silly, man. It's so silly that this even got done. But I don't know how the long lasting impact it's going to have, but it's crazy times, man.
The utopia didn't last long. I mean, these people, like always, it's with a good thought, but they're unorganized, or the thing gets hijacked and they took over that police station or whatever. They spread out. There's still businesses there. And like always, somebody takes advantage of an opportunity like this. You started to hear some people were taken over, then guns showed up, you know, for people in general, I guess, who despise guns. I mean, I'm just going off a generality here. People came in with guns. So when shit's lawlessness, what do you need? You need a gun. And then murder started happening. The businesses were still there. They were losing money, losing money. The property was at risk. More people started flooding in. And then the people who are responsible, you know, the responsible adults said, we're just going to let it do what they want. It's a summer of love kind of BS from the mayor, and just went downhill from there. They had medical people there and stuff, and volunteers, which is great, but I mean, it's just fucking kids being kids, man. Just let them do what the fuck they want, and then they blame somebody else because it's fucked up, you know? I don't want to shit on that generation, but it's kind of what I imagine happened. Then they started blaming other people, you know?
It's silly because they call themselves anti-fascist,
yes.
Yet they're the ones making this thing that's pretty much identical to fascism.
Yes.
It's ridiculous, man.
Right. To me, autonomous, it says, I'm looking at Webster Dictionary here, having the right or power to self-govern, undertaking or carrying on without outside control, existing or capable of existing independently. Now, like you mentioned, Noel, at the start, you know, they were, you know, asking people who here can be a doctor, who here can be a janitor and clean up, and who here can be gardening, who here can do this. So they did try to take care of a lot of stuff on their own. But at the end of the day, they started calling for the governor and the mayor to send them resources because they were running out of food. They were running out of water. They didn't have proper sanitation to kind of dispose of their garbage, you know, places to take a shit. You know, they didn't have stuff like that.
Of course
and
not.
So, yeah, so, you know, they were having trouble, and it was funny, you know, well, funny and sad at the same time that they were trying to form this, you know, autonomous, you know, we're outside of the government. But at the same time, they started at the end, started putting a lot of demands on the government that they wanted this and they wanted that. And a lot of it was to support this living that they were trying to create. Now, I know, mostly I'm against stuff like this, but I do kind of have a spot as far as I appreciate what they were trying to do. They were trying to bring awareness into the whole George Floyd thing. They were trying to, you know, kind of restructure the police department. And so I understand that, and I understand the passion for all that, and I support it to a limit where it's something that you support it with your votes as far as who you vote for. You support it with your money and who you support as in your community. But any kind of lawness blocking off like that, where they weren't allowing certain people into that area, they were allowing those businesses to continue to sell, that's where I kind of, you know, draw the line. Like, you got to do it within the means of society. You know, you can't just go out there and just flip it on itself. Otherwise, to me, that's anarchy, and that is not what you know.
What happened is they went in there, a bunch of people with different thoughts, and they all went as like, so there's a lot of people with different voices, right? And there was like this lead by committee shit that never, ever, ever works. There's always got to be one person making all the decisions. Otherwise, you're appeasing, you either hate them, you stick by them, you get them out, whatever. But what happened is there's a lot of people with their own agenda, and there was this community, this committee thing, and nobody made any decisions. They all just argued and did what the fuck they wanted, and that's why this thing failed. Like, in that New York Times article goes, there were one of the guys says, there was no leadership because there were different factions. It said Andre Taylor, a local community organizer who struggled to broker a meeting between the representatives in the zone and the mayor. When you're dealing with a very volatile situation, there's no cohesive voice, and it's really hard to deal with. So there was nobody calling the shots, and then when shit happens, they're blaming other people because it's like you're just all this shit just being thrown at you, and nothing gets done, no decision. It's just like a quagmire, you know, nothing happens. And people were bitching, and then the mayor, who is responsible for this, she decided not to do anything, and it just got worse and worse.
Yeah, I mean, she pulled the police out and abandoned the East Precinct there and just removed all the police presence there. And like you said, this whole autonomous zone, it's basically like we're all independent and we all can take care of each other independently. But it creates that atmosphere like you were talking about, where there's not a central leader. There's not one person that dictates. It's like these community of people like, well, I want this and I want this. No, they need to get rid of all police. And then the other one's like, no, just 50%. And then the other one like, no, we just need to take money away from them and send it over here. No, we need to do this. And so it's all these voices, and it's confusion and different directions. And that's what a lot of people attribute to why this didn't really succeed as well as they were hoping, just because there wasn't one single leader. But to have one single leader is kind of against this whole notion of autonomous zone, that you're not governing yourself independently. Somebody's governing it for you because there is a leader dictating what you should be doing.
But like always, you know, when people, you know, this fascination with socialism and communism that younger people have, like, they want everything provided for them. And when the government doesn't provide it for you, or whatever this group, what do you do? I mean, you got to do, like always, you got to rely on yourself. You can't wait on other people. So what, the only thing that survived, because they were getting donations and people were giving them stuff and people volunteered, but in the long term, that's you're not setting yourself up for any type of success or whatever. They didn't even agree into what should be the final thing. Like, what is this going to become? Eventually, towards the end, there was people up there. There was, I mean, what I read, I don't know how accurate. There's one guy, they're going around beating up people. They were taking pictures of stuff, and there were people getting shot. Everybody came with their assault rifles, and then they started arguing with white people, saying you guys shouldn't have guns or something to that effect. It just got really crazy out of real quick, and ultimately I think the only if someone, I mean, I think me and us three could have rolled up in there with some guns and a fucking tank, and we could probably be running that motherfucker. I mean, because what are they going to do? I think a big chunk of them would just leave. You know, it's just like you're appeasing people. Like, let's talk about what you guys are feelings. Like, I get it. You know, Americans were frustrated with the COVID and the police brutality and all that. But doing that shit, it's like a kid having a tantrum and then like, oh, we're sorry, we're going to make things better. But nothing happened. You just fucked up. What? How many blocks of the city? And OK, we're leaving. And they just left the fucking mess there and nothing got resolved. Nothing. And then it became into a bigger debate publicly on how should we handle this. And the other thing, I mean, America's standing, like, I can't believe they tolerated this shit. I mean, I don't want to say go in there with brute force, but go, hey, you guys got 2 days to get the fuck out of here. Or we're gonna clean house.
Yeah, dude, it's funny. There was a poll done. Reading here, Harvard Caps Harris Poll Survey. 1,792 registered voters participated in the survey between February of 19 and 20 of this year. Ages 18 to 24, 56% of them favor a mostly socialist system. Ages 25 to 34, 48%. It's not until you start getting to the 50s and 60s that it drops down in like the 20%.
Dude, it's communism is evil. Socialist, I mean, people look at Europe and then I get it, man. There's this free promise of free schooling and free healthcare, but it's not. I know there's all these studies. It's like, it's not. People think it's going to be like, oh, I don't got to pay for shit. You're going to pay a price for it in some other way. And then you not might be getting the best care. It's like the basic of the basic they're going to give you for free. And then if you need some other stuff, you're going to have to wait. It ain't like you're going to get this immediate fucking thing, you know? And I seen it at the Cook County Hospital, man. It's just like, that's free healthcare. If you live in Cook County, you get free healthcare. Go over there. Go to Cook County Hospital. I'm not saying the facilities are bad. Just the wait time on everything, it is fucking ridiculous.
Right. I think, I mean, not to go into something silly, but in Star Trek, the whole premise is that everybody works for each other. There is no more money. There is no more. So it's kind of like a socialist environment where everybody works to the greater good of everything else. But the problem is that people need to be unselfish in that world. And right now, people are selfish. Everybody wants things for themselves. And whoever does have something that they don't have, they want it. And they don't want it with work. They want it, just have it. So
I think what made it possible in Star Trek, though, and that's actually a really good point you bring up. I think what made that possible was the fact that you could push a couple little buttons, do do do, and then boom, got your food, got your drink, got whatever you want, and it didn't cost you a thing. It just whatever the hell they do, and it
costed
freaking
you your soul and flavor, Noel. They always shit it on that replicating food.
Right, that it didn't taste as good. Yeah. But, I mean, it did cost somebody to maintain the technology. It cost somebody to go clean out the plasma injectors, and it costed somebody to go mine the resources to feed this machine, to fabricate the machine. So, all these people are working to bring everything together for this greater good. And then they even go out and help people that aren't even part of their society to become more enlightened like they are supposedly. And so it's just to have a selfish, selfless attitude and where you're trying to help everybody around you. And the problem is that there are not enough people like that. Most people want to build their self good. And the people that typically want to help everybody, they don't want to do anything themselves to kind of better their lives so that they could be in a position to help other people.
I'm really sorry, Andy. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Noel.
No, just really quick, I'm worried for the future. AI is right around the corner. A lot of automation is right around the corner. And what we're kind of talking about here, Star Trek, at least what we just mentioned, that was a turn into a positive direction, a more utopian direction. I feel like we're heading towards a more dystopian direction, whereas the wage or the earnings gap is just increasing. The middle class is closer to the lower class than it's ever been, and the gap between the middle and the upper class is greater than it's ever been.
That's the thing, Noah. I mean, I get that. It's just people. I mean, I don't want to have this fucking discussion, but I get it. But in America, you have the potential to make. You can close that gap, but people, there's this politics of the system's holding you down and all this other nonsense. You have the potential to make as much money as you want in this country. There's no cap. But people don't understand is they see Bezos and they see Elon Musk and even Bill Gates. These motherfuckers, they fucking hustled to make all that money. It wasn't just handed to them. All you hear is how much money they have. What you don't see is what they did to make all that. You don't hear about all that shit. I mean, people today, especially younger people, they want that immediately. They don't understand that it does. That's not their first foray into whatever business. I'm pretty sure they weren't thinking what Bezos was, some accountant for Wall Street or some shit. And then he's like, I'm gonna sell books. And then the business evolved to what it is now. Elon Musk, he had his hand on a lot of things before he started Tesla. Bill Gates, you know, before Microsoft, he dubbed and all this other shit. How he made it, they don't care how he made it. We all know he bought DOS or stole it from somebody. It don't matter. That was what opened up the door to what he is now. In America, they don't care how you make your money. All they know is that you have it. If it's stolen, you cheated. I would say a big chunk of Americans don't give a fuck. They just know that you got it, and they want a piece of it.
It's because nowadays people don't have the entrepreneur mentality. Yeah. They have the more artistic mentality. Everybody wants to be a dancer or an actor or model. Nobody wants to be an engineer or a fucking business owner.
Or a French fry operator.
To be fair, man, the school system in this country has failed us extremely. Most of the things that people should know, they don't. You graduate high school, you don't know how to invest your money. You don't know how to set up a retirement account. You don't know how to even file your taxes. You don't know how to do anything that you should know how to do by the time you leave high school and get ready to go into the workforce or college or whatever. And it's a shame. And I think that's the reason, part of the reason why a lot of people are being left behind, and they're expecting the government to help them because they don't know any other way. They're literally clueless to how to fucking get out of the situation.
Right. But I think some onus is in the education. You're right. Some onus is on them. But I think a lot of it is in the family structure. Your parents are the ones that should be giving you these values. Your parents are the ones that should be telling you, put that money into the bank. This is how you should open up a credit card account. This is how you should open up a checking account. This is how you pay your bills. This is how you balance your checkbook. This is how you start a 401k. Those are stuff that, yeah, the school is supposed to maybe give you some kind of background in, but the family structure, your parents, those are the ones that should be guiding you. But unfortunately, a lot of Americans, they grow up in parentless houses. They grow up in houses where their parents are not there, or even if a parent is there physically, he's not there mentally, kind of giving you the nourishment that you need to develop. And a lot of people do have to do it by themselves. Now, I'm not giving all these people passes just because their parents weren't there. My parents didn't show me how to start a 401k, and my school didn't either. But guess what? I do have a 401k, and I am preparing for my retirement. So just because nobody showed me, I'm supposed to just lay down and be like, somebody help me.
Yeah, you're not playing the victim card.
Yeah, somebody give me a retirement so that when I get old and I can't work no more, somebody take care of me. No, you have to go out there and you have to do it. You have to work hard, and it is hard. It's a pain in the ass. It's a lot of sweat. It's a lot of waking up early in the morning and having to go out to work and save your money. And damn, this new shiny thing is out there and I really want it. No, let me not buy it because I need to save for a future. I need to save for my son's future. I need to save for my family. Let me not go out there and drink half the night away and spend all my money. Let me put some of that money into the bank so that I'm able to buy a house, put an investment for a future. Those are the things that people need to do to kind of better themselves so then they can better other people around them.
Yeah, bringing it back to the chop real quick, like I'm not saying those people or the people who started this, it went in with good intentions and I believe they're smart people. You have the best thing about today's generation, they have access to so much info and they could get it so quickly. It's just it comes back to the school with the indoctrination of America's bad, communism or socialist is better. I mean, when they start talking about Che Guevara and the Chinese guy, and they're saying these people were revolutionaries, people were fucking evil, man. Like, just see what China does right now in today's fucking time with the prison camps and what they're doing to the Muslims, what Che Guevara did in like South America and fucking Cuba and Christians, like. They praise these regimes, and like what happened to in Minnesota with Floyd. Yeah, I mean, we should be outraged. We should not expect that from the police, but to fund the police and what they started, you know, with CHOP or what they wanted to start this conversation. Like, yeah, what are you guys gonna do about the reform? That's a good thing, but this shit got fucking hijacked. It went off the rails, and then somebody took advantage and went in there with guns, and they killed like three people, and like kids, I think 16, like teenagers.
Yeah, younger teenagers. Yeah, it was on June 20th, like, the first deadly shooting.
And then one of the parents is like suing the police, like. Like you allowed this to happen, and to some extent, yeah, I do believe that. But there is some, you know, you gotta have some personal fucking. You made a life decision to go in there. You knew the risk, and you know they were starting to garden and they threw cardboard, which is funny, and some dirt and some bullshit on there. It was a joke. I mean, they at least they tried. God bless them. They tried, but. They just, it's hard work, man. It's hard work to set up something new. And I think they just, the thing got hijacked and you should protest. Absolutely. It's just the thing went off the rails quickly. And you're kind of starting to see that in Portland. I mean, I haven't read too much upon it. I had to check out because this shit is, it's too much, man. And I saw some videos this morning. Some girl, you know, some white woman got in the cop's face. She went full Karen on him. The cop's like, get away, get away. She's like, well, what are you going to do? Put the cuffs on her. And she started shrieking like a little kid. Help me out. And like, the cop told you to leave. He gave you many chances. You refused. So they put the cuffs on you. And people are like, oh, they're fucking fascist and all this. The cop asked her three times to leave. But she resisted. And now she got arrested for it. Could have been worse. They could have shot you or something. But I think she was a white woman. They gave her a break and just arrested her.
Yeah, I think things are even more complicated when the media uses this as an opportunity to get themselves more attention. So they'll make the headlines and spin it in a weird way. Yep. And that's just so dangerous. There's so much information. And with that comes misinformation.
And some of that's through social media with the biased news feed that each individual person reads, you know, conservative, Republican, Democrat, left, center. There is no central, I don't care what any of the news media, the big CNN, they all have bias. Fox News, they all have bias. So now, as we get older, you got to start reading from all sides, and because they're all fucking fake news and there's some truth in there, you just gotta start reading through the lines and try to make some, because it's, you know, you don't know what the fuck you're reading anymore. It's some truth with mixed up bullshit or a different perspective. Like that kid recently settled his lawsuit with the Post,
Native American,
with the Native American. He settled his lawsuit with the TV people and the newspaper people. They're not disclosing how much he got, but I bet you it's a shitload of money, because right away they went through a, They were pushing their narrative like this white kid's being a dick. He's taking advantage of this Native American. And like, fuck him, man. Let's go on the attack. And it came out to be once the full video got released and all that, it was all bullshit. And like, but they unleashed that the power of the media and with their they had a narrative in mind that they had to push. And that happens all the time. Luckily, this kid, somebody shot a full video and he went after him and they settled with him. But that shit happens every fucking day in this country.
You know, I wonder if there's any way, I know with freedom of speech, it's really difficult to do, but I wonder if there's any way to make the media accountable for the lies or the half-truths that they tell sometimes, or the way they spin the story. If there's any way to make sure that if they have any of the facts incorrect that they're reporting, and if they know and are aware that these facts that they're reporting are incorrect, if we can hold them accountable in some way.
Right. I think something like that would be neat, but it's difficult because they're just going to say, well, we're just reporting what we know. We didn't know that other part, or we weren't aware of that during our reporting. And I think, Andy, I think you said it just right, man. There is bias no matter which site you go to.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually, for this article, we're going to post two different articles in there. One more to the left, kind of, you know, praising the chop, and one more from the right that kind of, you know, dooms the Chaz as a complete failure.
Yeah.
Right.
I think
I think this is, like you said, Andy, it's completely, there's one side and the other. And anywhere you go for your news, I'm seeing it more and more. I usually go to conservative websites myself, but I see their spin and I'm starting to not really like it, even though it's more to my views. I see that they're trying to just appease me by just showing me that side,
which is not good.
And it's starting to give me a bad taste in my mouth, man. It's starting to make me feel like it's not right, man, to be honest. And I'm really tired of all the hateful talk. Either way, whichever which way. I have my beliefs and I believe a certain way, but I'm tired of the hateful, let's just attack this person. Let's get the facts, like Noel was saying. Like, let's fact check things. Let's not be the first one to put this out on a news blast. Let's find out the details first before we give our opinions on these subjects. And I think if we do that, we might be in a better place.
Like, I distinctly remember on social media with the white kid and the Native American, people were just fucking shitting on him all across the board. And I think you, Danny, were kind of, you held off until you actually posted the full video. And there's a lot of our acquaintances were saying, I want to fucking fuck this kid up. I want to slap that smirk off of him. And I think you posted something that, like, the full video you got it from somewhere. And I'm like, well, there you go. And like, by then it was too late. Everybody, they want, like, you know, celebrities and people in the news media, pundits were all like, we need to, like, this kid is, you know, he's probably rich and, like, blah, blah, blah. And they were shitting on him. And then the truth came out. There was no apology. Nobody said, like, we apologize or anything. They just moved to the next thing that they were pushing. And that's why even on social media, when I see today, I see people just jump on bandwagon and just start fucking, you know, criticize. I'm like, hey, did you just read besides the headline? Did you, like, you have, you, every, this is... It is in today's area is responsible gatherers of information. You have to fucking search now because it could be fake, or you have to get you have to do more research to get a better view, because you were so used to just, I read from here. This is, they skew to my point of view or my fucking beliefs. And you gotta do more, because it's just so much shit, and now we're so divided now. Is you can read the news any way you want it, ultimately, if you want. Man, I didn't know, I went on a long rant there, man, but I hope I didn't put you guys to sleep. But with that being said, guys, we got to get out of here. We want to thank y'all for listening. Remember, you can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Send your questions, suggestions, your point of views, or what are you guys using to read the news at ffnquestions@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out our balanced and fair website, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. There we, you see all their links. We'll have two links for this this show. You see our links to Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, YouTube, and so much, much more at on our website. So if you're on any of those platforms or how you listen to us, if you do, please subscribe, write a comment, and they'll help us out immensely. Again, this is Freeform Radio. We got Danny.
Yes, sir. We're a 10,000 downloads plus, man. We just got an email this week. I meant to mention it at the top, but yeah, we just got our banner for 10,000 downloads of Sweet. Freeform Network. So yeah, we're getting up there.
That's awesome.
We got Noel.
Thank you for listening, everybody. I hope you're doing good and you know, staying safe throughout this whole thing.
And unbiased and balanced Andy here. Again, thank you guys for listening. This is a labor of love. We might not agree on everything, but hey, we'll listen and to a point, you know. As long as you don't bash Jesus, maybe Noel might be say it's cool, but we're all good. Don't worry. We love everybody sometimes. But check us out next time, guys. And if you guys create a zone, let us go in there and broadcast.
That was cool, Dad.